Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's hour two. So if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Max Lucado. He's been on a handful of times before, always the most gracious guest. He's got a really fun new novel titled Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe. It's a heavenly novel. So it's winsome. It's wonderful. But it also really invites you to look up and understand and realize that there is intervention going on, that there really are angels involved in our everyday affairs. So if you missed the first hour conversation, go back and catch the podcast. He's just always such a dear to chat with. So the podcast will be up in just a little bit at myfaithradio.com. Okay, now we're going to spend some time talking about intimacy in marriage. And parts of this conversation might not be appropriate for young listeners. I said at the close of first hour to hide the children. Didn't mean to say that exactly, but I'm just saying you might want to get them busy. But our good friends Bill and Pam Farrell are on once a month. And today we're talking about intimacy, making your marriage sizzle. You know what? You can ask questions. You can ask anonymously if you'd prefer, but I'm excited to have them on to talk about this. They handle these topics with such class and such insight. So let me tell you about them and we'll get them on the show. Bill and Pam Farrell are authors, speakers, and co-founders and co-directors of LoveWise, an organization to help people connect love and wisdom and bring practical insights to their personal relationships. Bill and his wife Pam have written more than 30 books, including Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti and Red Hot Monogamy, which we're talking about today. They've been married more than 30 years and have raised three young men who love Jesus and athletics, and you can find them on the web at lovewise.com, or you can see their influencer page on the website, myfaithradio.com. Bill and Pam, welcome back to the program.
Hi, it's great to be here, Susie.
And Susie, it's great once again to be the male representative on the show about romance.
Exactly, and you do it so well. I'm telling you what. you don't embarrass too easily, and that's really good. I just got to say, Bill.
Yeah.
Good, good. That's a secure man right there. So you know the drill. We start out talking scripture, wondering if there's a passage that God's been putting on your heart. And Pam, we'll start with you.
Well, I love the whole Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. And one of my favorites is Song of Songs 3:4. I have found him whom my soul loves. I held on to him and would not let him go.
Mm. So, Susie, can I close in prayer now?
Yeah, we're done. Really, what more needs to be said? Okay.
And Susie, I want to share mine with a little story.
Okay.
Okay. The verse that really stood out to me, it's out of Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 11. It's an excellent wife who can find. Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her.
Mm.
And the reason why that stuck out to me is that I was at a men's conference this last weekend, and the event coordinator led the men at one point in just standing and proclaiming out loud the fear in their life that they're trusting God to overcome for them. And the number one, like by far eclipsing every other thing that the guy stood up and said, was the fear of failure. And as men, we are emotionally connected to succeeding in our lives. We want to succeed in our career. We want to succeed in our marriage. We want to succeed as dads. We want to succeed in our pursuits. And anything we know we can succeed in, we're motivated to do. But if we don't think we can succeed, we just lose motivation. So when a man finds a wife that he can trust and he can say, I can succeed with that woman in my life,
wow,
he is powerfully motivated.
Mm, that's so good. Pam, did you want to say more about your verse and even connect it to what Bill just said?
Well, I think that really that's the whole goal is, you know, I have found the one my soul loves. And when we do that, we're motivated to help our husband succeed in all different areas of life. And it goes down to the core of our heart issue. And if we truly love our man, then we'll be motivated to do the things, even change ourselves and change the way we do things, the way we say things, if it is going to be the best for him, and vice versa. If he truly loves us, he'll do those things that will help us soar.
Hmm. So before we get into the content of your book, Red Hot Monogamy, Make Your Marriage Sizzle, which is just such a gutsy, I mean, you guys went after this topic, and I was very impressed with the way you handled it. I'd love to know if you either have anything to say about the 50 Shades phenomena. Bill, I'll start with you.
Well, I think the overarching statement of the whole 50 Shades phenomenon is the guy says he's not romantic, which means it's a movie about two mutual users, and they're trying to make it attractive enough that people will actually think it's a good idea. And I would kind of defer to Pam, because Pam's got the greatest quote ever, that why settle for gray?
Why settle for Mr. Gray when God's plan is red hot?
Mm.
You know, and when we look to God as the source of our love, it sizzles. It's plenty, you know, fans the flame, it's hot enough. It's when we get off of that plan that all of the hurt and pain of humankind, if you can think about, it is when sex is used outside of God's parameters that all the hurt happens, and, you know, things like rape or molestation or sexual perversions or sexual intimidation in the workplace and all the diseases. It's when it gets outside of the context. It's like a fire. You know, you look at a fire in the fireplace, and it's lovely, and it's romantic, and it's beautiful. But if you take that same fire and throw it on the carpet, you're going to burn your house down, and that you'll burn your life down if you misuse the gift of sex.
Now, the one lesson, Susie, I think we can learn from the phenomenon, because the amazing thing about it is that so many people are reading the book and seeing the movie. The one lesson we can learn is that in the heart of men and women is a desire to have a passionate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can gain God's perspective on that, not just gain God's perspective so that we can have a nice relationship, but if we can gain God's perspective so that we have a lifelong passionate relationship, then we will be enjoying the real thing, which you can sustain forever.
And I think this is maybe a bit of a foreign topic, an idea even for a lot of Christians. And that's why I'm so glad you're daring to talk about it, because I almost wonder if a lot of Christians are sort of going the backdoor way and engaging on that level, watching that movie and reading those books, because they really don't know that God really invites them to a form of intimacy within marriage that is sizzling. And so how have we missed this, you guys? Because if we miss this, it only leads to other counterfeit experiences that could actually harm us. Pam, what about you first?
Right. You know, it is a powerful gift. And so just like dynamite, a lot of times we compare sexuality, the gift of sex, to TNT, you know, dynamite. If you use dynamite well, you know, it can blow a hole in a side of a mountain. You can put a road through. And so it has a positive use. But if you misuse dynamite, it becomes war. And that is the same thing with sexuality. It's a powerful gift. And Bill has a great illustration of that from Germany when we were over there.
Yeah, I like to tell people that the goal of your sexuality is to respect the power of it so you can fully enjoy it. And I had the opportunity, we were over in Germany. We stayed at a friend's house while we were there. And as we walked to their home, I noticed there was a Mini Cooper sitting in the driveway. So I said to the dad over dinner, I said, "Hey, I noticed you have a Mini Cooper in the driveway, and we're not far from the Autobahn, so when are we going out?" And his 18-year-old son said, "Well, I'll take you out after dinner," which I don't know the wisdom of having an 18-year-old driver take me out, but again, as a man, once you commit to it, you don't back down. Mm-hmm. So as we're leaving the house, his dad says to him, "Hey, no going over 130 miles
oh,
an
my
hour."
Goodness.
Something I've never said to my son.
Okie dokie.
So we got on the Autobahn. We're traveling at 130 miles an hour, and we were passed by two other sports cars. They were Porsche 911s. They just blew right past us. And my first thought was, I want to be in that car. That's a powerful one. But then 10 minutes later, we passed one of those cars, but it didn't look like a car anymore. It was a big flaming heap of metal on the side of the road.
Oh, wow.
Because the man lost respect for the power that he had.
Hmm.
And that's what's happening to too many people's lives. If we respect the power, we get to have a great, passionate life. But if you don't respect the power, it turns into an accident and causes lots of damage.
Wow, good word. Okay, here's a quote from your book, Red Hot Romance Tips for Women. And if you want to both comment on it, but first I'll go to you, Pam. But it says, one of the basic components of a strong love relationship is when a man feels appreciated, valued, and esteemed. When your husband senses you feel you've won the grand prize when you're married him, his heart will definitely be drawn to you. Explain why this is so true, Pam.
Well, when we surveyed guys for our book Red Hot Romance Tips for Women, and it had been over a course of many years. And so we asked them, what are the things that you appreciate that your wives do that make your relationship healthy and what drives you crazy? And from the list of what drives guys crazy is what created the framework for Red Hot Romance Tips. It's an A to Z, 26 traits that will fan the flame on love. And it's things that we women can be. We can be appreciative. We can be beautiful, meaning healthy and fit, classy, direct, expressive, fun, good, and the list goes on from there. And really, when we see that, when we're our very best, when we're our most loving, there's no downside to that. Every benefit of all, it will benefit all of our relationships with our husband, with our kids, with the community. So basically, it's looking, how do I be a more loving person? And that reaps all kinds of wonderful benefits in a relationship.
And say more, Bill, speak to that. Just when the husband feels appreciated, valued, esteemed, when you get the sense that from your wife that she's won the grand prize because she married you, what does that do for you?
I wonder if you can just like put that quote somewhere on a billboard somewhere, because again, as men, like we know that it's a little unrealistic the way we approach our desire in marriage, because what we want is somebody who is just proud of us, who can't hardly stand walking by us without saying, "You are just awesome." Now we know that's not really realistic in life, but in every other arena of life, we compete. We have to watch our back. We have to, like, discern, is this person safe? Are they not? We have to decide what kind of boundaries to set up, because if we have any talent at all, everybody wants it. And when we discover in our wives somebody who just loves us for us, and, like, I know that Pam can change an entire day. If she walks by and says, "Man, you look good," and then just goes and does whatever, I'm distracted for the rest of the day. Because I know there's one person in life who thinks I'm all that. Mm. Even though she knows I'm imperfect and she knows I have my quirks and she knows that there's areas of my life I need to work on, I know all that too. And so I don't really need another person to point it out to me every day, even though it's easy to see. But when she's proud of me, it just changes the way I look at life. It lightens the burden. It makes me a better man.
And easier to live with. That's the thing that's so amazing. If we give a little bit of value and appreciation, our husbands, like, they become nice. When we're nice, it's much easier for them to reciprocate in nice, too. And so sometimes I just, in Red Hot Romance Tips, and right now I'm running a Red Hot Wives Challenge. It's what 3,000 women have joined me for 26 days to, you know, fan the flame on love in their lives. And the whole attitude of being appreciative, sometimes we just need a practice. You know, we can be appreciative through written or spoken praise, or we can applaud a specific effort or accomplishment, or we can approve heartily of a particular choice he's made, or we can commend him in front of his friends or colleagues, or we can compliment one of his physical features, or we can accept one of his quirks with a quick hug and a kiss, or we can laud one of his accomplishments with a big, you know, a gift or a family celebration, or we can just warm up to an idea that he's brought up just by asking for a few more details and listening, and we can support one of his dreams, you know, by placing a picture of him doing his dream in a prominent place in the home, or we can adore his body, and that leads to other expressions of red hot romance. And then enthusiastically, we can embrace one of his opinions, or we can just even show pleasure in his company, or be mindful of him by running an errand or picking up something or doing something without being asked. Or for Bill, if I just bring him a flat white coffee, no sugar,
yes,
it's a good day.
I'm talking to Bill and Pam Farrell today about red hot monogamy. When we come back, I'm going to have them both sort of define what God's best is when it comes to intimacy within marriage and just the different expectations men and women have and how we reconcile those. You got some questions, you can call in. If you feel better being anonymous, that's okay too. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell, and we will be back in a moment.
Care of you, don't be sad, don't be blue, I'll never break your heart in two, I'll take care of you.
I absolutely love that album, Stephen Curtis Chapman, All About Love. It's a great date night album if you need one. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell today about red hot monogamy, making your marriage sizzle, intimacy in marriage, and God's idea of what that should look like. And, you know, you two, the last time my son and his wife were about to go on a date, I was talking to him on the phone, and right before he hung up, I said, you know, you guys have fun, and be sure that you make out in public a lot because people around you will be super comfortable with that, you know, and they had a good laugh. And, you know, you wrote about a thing called social intimacy where you feel like you're alone while you're in a crowded place, but that's not exactly what you were talking about, was it?
Nothing too bad. Actually not too bad at all.
Okay, what is social intimacy then?
Social intimacy is any time that you are out and about in the public, but you're just the two of you on a date, whether it's in a park or on a cruise or, you know, at church. Anywhere can become romantic if the two of you are getting along. So developing, you know, things that you like to do, places that you like to visit, and expanding those horizons, you know, take a class together or go to a art museum or, you know, to go to a seminar. Go out to dinner, walk on the beach, take a picnic. What are those things that you haven't done in a long time? Maybe try doing those things again.
And often, Susie, those things add kind of new life to your relationship because when you look at each other in the eyes and you have a conversation and you're not surrounded by all of your responsibility, it often will reignite that sense that, oh, you know what, we are boyfriend and girlfriend. We're not just husband and wife. We're not just mom and dad. We're not just Mr. and Mrs. Responsibility together. We're actually a boyfriend and girlfriend. And I remember that now because the phone's not ringing and the laundry doesn't have to be done. The dishes aren't staring at us and we don't have to worry about what we're having for dinner. And we just get to be us for a little while. And that's why when you go out and do stuff together and you share a meal together where you just get to look at each other and not be distracted by all your life, it often just rekindles what it is that brought you together in the first place.
That's good. I wonder if you have advice for the couple whose sex life involves more conflict than it does enjoyment and intimacy, you know, because that's a common issue where it's like when you get on that territory, it's actually kind of prickly and it's just like this is a hard topic for us because we're just so not on the same page with it. What are some of the first steps that they can take? Pam, you can start.
Well, first thing to do is like if they just look at their ring. You know, most wedding rings have a diamond in it, and diamonds are multifaceted. And so if a relationship is not red hot, then you're going to want to say in what area is it contributing, conflict contributing to us. And so intimacy is really multifaceted, and so we want intimacy in all different areas of life. We want social intimacy. We want relational intimacy. We want spiritual intimacy. We want financial intimacy. We want parental intimacy. If we're fighting about the kids, there's not going to be a lot of red-hot monogamy going on. Fighting about the money, there's not going to be a lot of red-hot monogamy going on. We want career intimacy, so we're pulling in the same direction. And so by looking at – and then sexual intimacy, of course. By looking at the different areas – one of those is going to be stressed. One of those is probably not working the way it was designed. It's really interesting, you know, in the Bible, in Genesis, God said he made the plants and it was good, and he made the trees and it was good, he made animals, it was good, he made man and it was good, he made women, it was very good. Well, that term good means according to God's design, or beautiful, functioning as God designed it. And so if we are functioning well as God designed, socially, financially, recreationally, vocationally, parentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, then there's going to be a lot of intimacy.
So
if one
gonna,
of those areas is not working, that's the place to
start. So you kind of retrace your steps. If there's dysfunction there, it means there's dysfunction somewhere else. Bill, before I have you speak to that, I want you to answer this caller. He's calling in with a question for you today. Mickey's calling in. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. You got a question for Bill and Pam today?
Well, yeah. You just said the word dysfunction. That's what I feel is going on. I've been married a few years now, and my wife has. I thought she was saving up all the passion and affection for after marriage, which is, you know, what we believe in, but it's never happened. You know, it's like there's something missing. Mm. She's disinterested in romance. And what else could I say? You know, she doesn't like to talk about the intimate matters. She doesn't like the Book of Song of Solomon, for sure.
Mm. And we've got about 2 minutes before we have to take a break, so I want to give you enough time, Bill, to answer. Do you want to speak to Mickey?
Well, Mickey, just quickly, has she told you why she doesn't like to talk about that stuff and why she doesn't like to engage with you?
No, she gets kind of argumentative.
Yeah.
That sounds like some pain. Oftentimes, anger is a cloak for pain. So I don't know if there is hurt in her past or she's been misused in the area of sexuality as she was growing up. Oftentimes we encourage people, if love isn't red hot, then hit it from all sides. Start praying together. Start praying for her. Get a medical checkup. You know, if her testosterone's low or her hormones are off, that can throw us off. And it could be a spiritual issue, and she has some block towards God being, you know, intimate with God or people at all, at any level. So there's, you know, we just encourage you to try from many sides to get her the best help possible.
And I'm just going to say, Mickey, keep going back to it. Keep praying that God brings a breakthrough to this relationship. And then I just want to talk generically a little bit, because most people are afraid of two things at war against each other. Most people are afraid of being alone, and so they want to get married to somebody, but then they're afraid of intimacy, and so once they get married, they avoid one another. And that leads to a lot of anger and a lot of frustration and a lot of defensiveness. And that's why cultivating our ability to love one another is so important. It's one of the reasons why Pam and I wrote the books, both Red Hot Monogamy and Romance Tips for Women, is because intimacy needs to be cultivated. Because we generally come at it as, we're afraid for somebody to know us that well. We're afraid that if they get to know us that well, they're going to reject us. And we're afraid to give that much of ourselves to another person. And so we have to cultivate an appetite for intimacy, and we have to cultivate the skill of intimacy so that we truly can trust one another.
And one of the ways to build up trust in a woman's heart is just seek to meet her security need in all areas.
That's so
good. If you seek to meet that security need first, she's going to become easier to live with, easier to love.
Great word. Seek to meet that security need in all areas. That's so true. We need that as women. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell, if you've got your questions about intimacy in marriage and how it maybe plays out in other areas of relationship, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
One thing will not be changing, we will dance when the sun is shining in the pouring rain. We'll spin and we'll sway, and we will dance when the gentle breeze becomes a hurricane. The music will play, and I'll take your hand.
No nobody sings a love song quite like Stephen Curtis Chapman. That beautiful song was at my youngest son's wedding. So beautiful. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our good friends Bill and Pam Farrell about intimacy, red hot monogamy. And again, if you've got little ones listening, this might not be the most appropriate conversation for them, because we're talking about a very necessary topic within the context of marriage, and often an area of great struggle. And I want to talk about for a moment, if we could, about a woman's and a man's perspective on sex in the context of marriage, because we kind of have different ideas and thoughts about when that starts and what that should look like. But Bill, I read this in the Red Hot Monogamy, you know, that, you know, of course we always think it's always about the physical for men, but it isn't just that, it's an emotional connection as well. I'd love for you just to unpack that a little bit for us.
Well, there are to simplify it down so that it's easy to take away, there are two things that every man hopes, like deeply in his soul, he hopes that his wife just accepts these two things and embraces these two things. The first one is we just really hope that our wife embraces the strength of our ego, that we really do want a woman in our life who just thinks we are incredible, and who is willing to say, I want you, I want to be around you, I love hearing you talk, I love watching you do whatever you do, because you are just incredible. And the second thing is we hope they embrace a love for the frequency of sexual interaction. And like we don't mean to be so kind of irrational about it, but our body kind of screams out for us to be intimate with our wives on a regular basis, and we just long for our wife to say, you know what, I'm going to value that also. Even though it's not naturally how I approach this, I'm going to value that. Because we feel like those are the two areas of our life that are really embarrassing for us, so they're hard to admit to.
Mm.
And if we can say to our wives, hey, when we don't have sex often enough, I just get weird. And I hate it that I get weird, but I just get weird. And when I don't think anybody's proud of me, I entertain doing dumb things. And if I can say that to you and you embrace it, I just long to be with you. But if I can't share those two things with you, I get frustrated.
And so just pause right there. So if the marriage is absent of those things for whatever reason, maybe a husband is overworking, he's not been sensitive to her needs, but he is not receiving affirmation, he's not accessibility with his wife, so to speak. And not only that, then she gets mad that he wants those things. You can sure see how the enemy would find an open door there to bring a significant.
Oh, absolutely.
Match.
And men will do one of two things there. Either a man will do business with God and say, you know what, I'm going to serve my wife, I'm going to serve my family regardless of whether my needs get met. Or he will be mad at them all the time and he will be demanding of his wife. Mm. He's going to do one of the two.
Wow. So, Pam, speak to the woman's side as far as how we approach it, how we view it, and maybe set a right perspective where we tend to maybe be wrong about it.
Well, we tell those who are even looking towards marriage, you know, as we're trying to explain the differences between men and women in the area of intimacy and sexuality, romance, is if you give a man your body, he will give you his heart. And
if you give a woman your heart, she will tend to give you her body.
And so that meets a different need. So we women, we want the heart of our guy. But to get to that, we need to be willing to share our body. And that's sometimes a disconnect, because what we really are looking for most women is a multi-layered intimacy. So it's not just an act, a physical act, but rather the emotion, the bonding, the spiritual level even. We love it multifaceted, many layered. That's really valuable to us. But God designed men so that it actually, the release that happened with intimacy builds their self-esteem. And so God wired us different for a reason, and it's a good thing. And we like to quote our mentor, Jim Conway, when it comes to the differences in this area as well.
He describes women sexually as kind of like an electric stove. If you walk up to an electric stove and you turn on the burner, kind of nothing happens. But if you leave it on, it slowly warms up, and then it will get red hot. And if you turn it off, it stays red hot and slowly cools back down. So women are kind of like an electric stove.
And guys are more like a gas flame, instant on, instant off. That's how they approach the area of sexuality. And so we are really different. And so it's wonderful to actually value those differences and work dates in that would honor and value those differences. And it's wonderful to, like, time everything out. So it's like, woo, fireworks. So both needs get met at the same time. But it's equally wonderful to just really value the way that God made us different in this area as well as others. And God's like, he is so, he's really thought this out. I mean, God created red-hot monogamy. He is not surprised by it. He could have had procreation happen any way possible. You know, we could be like earthworms, but we're not. And he designed it so it would be intimate and fun and replenishing and spiritual and all of those things. And he even made it so that in a life cycle, early on, men between 18 and, let's say, 40.
Testosterone's high, and we're extremely interested.
That's right.
Right. So, like I'll just speak for myself. Like, during those years, Pam would step out of the shower, and I'm thinking, well, now's a good time. And she'd be, like, brushing her teeth. I'm thinking, now's
a good time.
She's like, yeah, like, any time's a good time.
Right. And then testosterone starts going down in a guy and around 40 and beyond, but our hormones change at that point, and our hormone levels start going up a little bit. And so we women from 35, you know, till about 55, we start getting very interested in red-hot monogamy. And so I just think it's so clever of God that somebody is interested in it, in a marriage at all times, just because of the way God wired our bodies physically.
And some could argue it seems like he's wired them to not work together, but I think the way he's wired it is that it requires love to work. Because we're just off enough that if we are always self-preserving, always keeping account, always, you know, looking after our own interests and not the interests of our spouse, it won't work. It really did. The love is the bridge that connects us, isn't it?
And I would add to that, Susie, that I think God designed it the way he did because he wants it to be a relational decision.
Yeah, that's good.
So this is a decision you and your husband, or in my case, me and my wife, make together on how we're going to express love to each other. And it's the decision of how we do that that really bonds us. And when you get used to that, when you say, you know, in our 20s, we're going to decide together. And in our 30s, we're going to decide together. And in our 40s, later on in life, you just can't keep up the same pace of interaction with each other that you can when you're young. And sometimes later in life, you run into problems that make physical intimacy difficult. But if you're used to making the decision together, you can continue that your entire life and keep that bond of intimacy between the two of you, even when everybody thinks you've stopped.
Right. Rather than a wedge, if you're used to talking about red-hot monogamy, then what statistically, people that talk about red-hot monogamy are doing red-hot monogamy more often.
Yeah.
And so in our book, Red-Hot Monogamy, in the back of every chapter, we have, you know, conversation starters and questions. We have hands-on homework, pun completely intended.
I'm telling you what.
Yeah, almost what you want to do.
And so if your listeners out there are too embarrassed to start the conversation, we'll start it for them.
Indeed. I'm telling you, I'm just saying, reading Red Hot Monogamy, well, it's a good date night material. It'll get your heart beating. I'm just saying. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Call if you got a question about intimacy and marriage. And no question is too small or too big. If you need to call anonymously, you can feel free, please. Tom is calling in from Fargo with a question. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. Yeah,
hey.
My wife and I are going to be married 30 years this year. And and so we're both early 50s, never had kids, and we used to have really good intimacy. We've since been under a lot of stress lately, moving and such, and my wife's ready for more intimacy, and I think I'm still not, and it's really difficult sometimes. So I was wondering, how should I pray so that I can become more intimate with my wife?
Hey, I have a quick answer. Oftentimes what we need is a nap. After 40, 45, our spouse looks much more interesting when we're rested. And so seriously, sometimes if we just get away, we sleep until we wake up, and then we have a great meal together, intimacy almost naturally will happen. And so sometimes it is those work issues that are stealing, you know, time away and pressure from needing to achieve or put money in the bank account, or in this case, moving physically is wearing out both of you probably. So, yes, carve out some time, put it on your schedule, give yourself a weekend off, and chances are just naturally after you're well-rested, she's going to look pretty good and you're going to look pretty good and nature will just take its course.
What do you say, Bill?
Well, what I coming from a guy who likes to live at a fast pace, like I like being busy, I like taking on responsibility, and I know that over the 35 years I've been married to Pam, that if I'm not deliberate about our love life, it gets squeezed out by responsibility, and it gets squeezed out by being tired. And so when we were raising kids and we had a local ministry, I made it a point to date Pam once a week. And I start over every week because I don't want to build any guilt in our relationship. So if we miss this week, we just start over next week and we're back on dating. And then I would plan days away with Pam. So that I knew there were days I was going to get away from the responsibility and away from the constant responsibility. And now that we're traveling a lot, we have replaced our date nights with date places. So we have favorite places around the country that when we're there, we go to our favorite restaurants. And that deliberate act of dating Pam on a regular basis has kept my interest alive.
And so maybe Tom's on hold now, but maybe Right. Because of the hard work of moving, you know, the rest is what's needed, but also some dating is what's needed. Because I think you get into that just when you're working, you kind of become work partners and you stop being lovers. So both of those things in that order, Tom, take a nap, then plan a date. That should work for you.
And I would even say plan a kickoff weekend where you get away with her. Mm. And the whole point is just to admire her and romance her.
Mm. Well, this brings up a question because you hear this more often than not. At least I do as I'm traveling around. It used to be the stereotype was the woman wasn't interested. The woman had a headache. But more often than not, I'm hearing where the woman is saying, well, I'm interested, but he's not. And are you guys hearing that more often? And, I mean, what do you say about that?
We are hearing it more often, and we think that it is the pressure cooker that we live in right now. Economically, life is hard. I don't care what the news headlines say about economic, you know, comeback. The everyday person is still feeling it, the pressure of having to put food on the table. And when you are always under that kind of pressure, it's easy to let romance go by the wayside because you just don't have a lot of energy left over. The key thing is to remember that romance doesn't have to cost a lot of money to be romantic. We have a list at lovewise.com of 25 free or nearly free things to express love, romantic dates that cost nearly nothing. And one of the challenges that I give in 52 ways to wow your husband is see how inexpensive that you can make a date. Can you do it for under $5? And one of the sweet women talked about each giving her husband and herself $2.50 and hitting Walmart, and they had to make a date with whatever they could buy at Walmart for $2.50. And so they came out with like this dollar puzzle and a can of earthworms, and they created a date out of it. So sometimes it's just clever, you know, so they went fishing is what they did and put the puzzle together. So just being clever and thinking outside the box, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It could be, you know what, let's just curl up and sit by the fire tonight, or let's just, you know, barbecue after the kids are in bed and eat later so we have some alone time. So it doesn't have to cost a lot, and that's what folks need to remember.
Hmm. Well, we're going to take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with one more segment. If you've got questions for Bill and Pam on Red Hot Monogamy, we'd love to get a copy of this book in your hands. I think we've got an extra couple copies. We'll find them if we don't. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. One more segment to call Bill and Pam. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell, the title again is Red Hot Monogamy, Making Your Marriage Sizzle. We'll be right back.
I'm
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to my friends Bill and Pam Farrell about intimacy in marriage. God has a plan for this, you know, and sometimes church isn't talking about it, but God wants us to enjoy great sex in the context of marriage, and nobody talks about it so well and so frankly as Bill and Pam Farrell. Welcoming your questions, we got just about 8 more minutes left with them. 877-933-2484. Brian's calling in from Madison, Wisconsin. Glad to have you, Brian. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for covering this topic. I just got off of work, and traffic was a little heavy, and I was listening to you. I don't always get a chance to hear what you have on, and I was encouraged by the topic. My wife and I will have been married 42 years at the end of next month, and we've had some difficult times over those times with kids and work and such, but your topic is great, and I plan on getting a copy of the book, and then after reading it, hopefully recommending it to others.
Wow, Brian. First of all, anybody who's been married that long, will, if they're honest, will admit that everybody has those hard times. But congratulations.
Yes.
We're going to get you a copy of this book because it'll give you a great date night, one or many. But Bill and Pam, you want to say something to Brian?
Congratulations first. Well done. Hey, and I hope that you're mentoring some young couples because they need your wisdom. Mm. Bill and I, we're just a little bit behind you. We're 35 going on 36 years. So we're applauding you. We know what it takes to make it that far in a marriage relationship. So awesome. We'd buy your book. You want to write us one?
Well, and it's funny, Brian. I can hear in your voice that you've got a you still enjoy your wife.
Yeah, there's a little smile going on.
And I tell young guys all the time, I say, if you want to learn how this really works, just look for the couple that has some experience that's just sitting in church quietly, and they have this really contented look on their face. So I can guarantee you that that couple has figured it out.
Mm.
And you need to go ask them how to love each other.
Very good.
And so I appreciate the interest, and I appreciate your example. And again, I echo Pam's thoughts that more young men need to hear from you so they can have the kind of relationship that you have.
It's great, really, and a great accomplishment, Brian. And make sure you give Grace your address because we've got a handful of Farrell books on her shelf. I'm going to see if I can find you a copy.
Okay.
And if not, I'm going to give you my copy because I know people, and I might be able to get myself another copy.
Oh, wonderful. Susie, you got to be careful with that one.
I know some peeps. So, Brian, you're getting a copy.
Thank you.
Yes, give Grace your address. Thanks for calling in. Okay, here's a topic you cover in Red Hot Monogamy, and I think people may have different opinions on. I like yours as well. Give your thoughts on scheduling sex. What do you say, Pam?
I actually think that it's healthy to schedule in red hot monogamy, and there's a few reasons. One is it builds up trust. If you keep your word week after week, that builds up trust in a relationship. The second is it's light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, life is depressing and hard, and you know, it takes a lot of work. And if there is a moment in your schedule that like, oh, but for those few hours, it's going to be lovely. It gives you hope. And then also you can prepare your mind and you can prepare your body and you can fully show up and give it your all to your spouse. And that's really what red hot monogamy is all about, is getting to know your spouse. In the Old Testament, the word that's used for sex most often is know, that they knew each other.
Mm.
And so knowing your spouse head to toe, you know, inside and out, that's really the goal of red hot monogamy. And I think that if you have red hot monogamy on a regular basis, you are getting to know your mate.
And all I can say, Susie, is every other thing that's really important in our life, we schedule.
That's true.
We never, like, a pastor never shows up at church and says, I hope people spontaneously come because I didn't tell anybody when it was going to happen. We don't do concerts that way. We don't do our work schedules that way. We don't work out that way. Everything that's really important to us, we schedule. And scheduling it is only a problem if you aren't skilled at it. Like if you aren't working on the skill of loving each other and you just put it on the calendar that I'm demanding this from you, that's not going to work real well because love doesn't flourish under demands. But if you are growing in your ability to love one another and you're truly interested in loving one another and you have an appointment with each other to love one another, that's going to go really well for you.
And in Red Hot Romance Tips book, I encourage women to kiss. And what I mean by that is set goals for this area of our life. We set goals in every area of our life. Why not set romantic goals? And kiss just simply means get knowledgeable. What is it that you need to learn that will help fan the flame on love in your relationship? I is inspired. You know, write a list of dream dates down and make some of those things happen over the course of the next year, once a month, once a week. Set up a regular time that you know you're going to be spending with your spouse. And then be specific. Nail down when these dates are going to happen, and then S is scheduled. Be intentional and not just put it on your schedule, but think of a fun way to put it on his schedule too, and think of fun ways to invite him or invite her. Will and I put RHM on our schedule, so if somebody's looking over our shoulder, like, oh, who's that appointment?
Sorry, I have an appointment.
Yeah, I can't meet with you.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to pause real quick here because I want to make sure we get Teresa's question answered, if that's all right. She's calling in from Duluth with a question for you both. Teresa, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My quick question here is, my husband and I, we've been married for 4 years. It's a second marriage for both of us. And he was very affectionate and everything in the beginning. But now his idea of affection is kind of, what do you want to call, groping. So as he walks by, he grabs my breast or something. And, you know, I always tell him a hug and a kiss will go further than, you know, just that, because it's more of a turn off than it is a turn on. When that's all he does, I'm just like, there's more to my body than just that, you know, and he can't get it through his head that I need, you know, I'd like a little bit more attention than just that area, and not just keep grabbing me every time. Just, you know, I don't know what to get it through his head.
Oftentimes, when you set aside time, you can then ask the question, what pleases you, what pleases me, and let's take time like an investigator and explore each other's mind, body, soul. And by doing that kind of an activity that we lay out specifically in Red Hot Monogamy, sometimes it helps clue our spouse in to, wow, if I kiss her behind her neck, that does a whole lot more in, you know, getting across that goal line than some of the other things I've tried. So you can try that kind of a date where you just clear the schedule and you ask each other that question and you explore together.
And I have just two. First of all, thanks for asking the question. And there's two things I would say. First of all, anytime you can compliment your husband when he does give you the kind of attention you're looking for,
exactly,
that has the potential of breaking through to him. But the second thing I would be saying is pray that God leads a man into his life that can help mentor him in this area.
And model.
Because most of us guys have never been trained in how to love a woman, and we don't know where to turn to learn it, and so we're just awkward about it. And my quick advice to any men who are listening is, if you just follow four simple steps, and I'll just put them A, B, C, and D, anything you do to alleviate stress in your wife's life will make her interested in you. Anything you do to make her feel beautiful will make her interested in you. Anything you do that makes her feel capable will draw her to you. And anything that makes you feel, makes her feel desired, will draw her to you.
Brilliant.
Wow, he is so wise.
So walking
Susie,
by.
You have often said it's not hard to sweep you off your
feet. It isn't. No, it's
and
right.
And as men, we just don't know how to do that. So for the men who are listening, give those four things a try. And if your husband isn't getting it, pray that God leads a man into his life that can mentor him. Because when we hear it from a man, we get it. When we hear it from a woman, it feels like we're being mothered, and we react weird to that.
So we'll put it on our Bill and Pam Facebook page, that little ABCD, and we'll link it to Susie's page. So that's a first step.
Yeah.
And when he gropes, instead of saying, oh, don't do that, or why do you always do that, instead say, wow, but I love it when you, and suggest something else. So,
and I'll be honest, that would be hard for me. I would want to bend his fingers back. I'm just saying. God bless you, Teresa. But that is hard. Men, we don't like that. So don't do that. Do what Bill says. Bill knows what he's talking about. Oh, my goodness. So, well, let's, as we get ready to pray, wondering, Bill, if you would pray for men to do that ABC, I mean, truly, that would just revolutionize marriages.
Yeah. Father, again, we want to thank you for your brilliance in creation. Thank you for creating women as such beautiful objects in our life. Thank you that they're great partners for us and that you describe them as helpmeets. And so would you give us the courage as men to reach their hearts on a regular basis? Show us ways to alleviate stress. Show us ways to tell them they're beautiful. Show us ways to tell them they're capable. And give us a desire in our heart that we can express to them that they are desirable to us. And we'll trust you with the results.
Amen. Bill and Pam, you're good friends of the program. Thanks for giving your time again today.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks for having a great marriage, great role model for everybody.
Wow.
And I hope you get to enjoy Red Hot Monogamy with your husband
Indeed.
Since you had the courage to talk
That's
about
right.
it.
Absolutely. I'm taking this book home. No, wait. I have to give it to Brian. I'll get my own copy next. I know people. All right. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's program up on our website. The title of the book we covered today, again, is Red Hot Monogamy, Making Your Marriage Sizzle. I'm telling you, reading the book will make your marriage sizzle, but acting on it will make it sizzle that much more. So glad you tuned in. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.